This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, how you doing there, buddy?
Well, I'm warm now. Yeah. You know, it's kind of breezy out. Not too cold, but still a bit chilly for May 8th or 10th or 11th or whatever we're at.
Now we know why it's called May. It may rain, it may snow.
It may, yeah.
May sun.
You just made that up, didn't you? Well, welcome to the show. I have some, I think interesting little gardening concepts that you might want to consider or think about in your own garden, or maybe not. But listen anyway. But thank you for listening. And if you have a question on anything, it doesn't have to be related to what I'm speaking about. It can be a question, you know, whatever bugging you in your yard or your shrubs or your tree fell down, whatever.
Did you give out the number?
Not yet. 673-4464. They should know it by now.
Yeah, but, you know, we may have one or two new listeners.
Yeah, we could. 673-4464, and we'll get you right in here. You can ask your question, and I shall give you the correct answer. How's that?
Sounds good.
Yeah, I knew that. But here we are in the second week of May.
Wow.
And it looks like the second week of February. It's kind of still cold and rainy. And in fact, I think it was not yesterday morning or a couple of mornings ago.
Yeah.
I'm leaving my house at 7:30, and there was wet snowflakes hitting my windshield.
Oh.
Yeah. And I thought, well, that's great. And I got out of the canyon and got on the paved road, and those wet snowflakes turned to big raindrops.
Rain. Yeah.
But in the distance, I can see the Callahan is all white.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get out there on Highway 42 where you can see more hills. They're white.
They're white.
Yeah, and I thought, this is May, whatever it was, 8th or something like that.
No. It's a strange month.
Yeah,
weather-wise, anyway.
Global warming is starting to really get me down. You know, I mean, whoa, geez, Louise. You know, and I read an article. I think it was in the Oregonian this morning or yesterday morning. On the front page, it says something to the effect that we're still in a severe drought, you know, and it goes on and on. And I'm thinking, you know, you got more rain in the last 2 months than you had last year's April, May.
Yeah, they're never happy.
They're never happy. And if they can find something negative, they want to just stab the people I'd like to strangle
them. Like some of the talk shows, but I won't name them.
No, don't name them.
I value my 50 cents an hour.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Oh, anyway, as I drive, you know, to work at 6 a.m., I think, where is spring? It's kind of light now. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
But usually it's, it'll turn into fog real quick. And then there'll be, I have to use the windshield wipers like every other 2 minutes just to get the moisture off the windshield so I can see.
It's just a little tease.
And I keep saying, where is spring? It's here. Yeah. I know the calendar says it's May, right?
Yep.
Well, it's probably hiding from all that global warming. But in fact, we had another freeze warning for this morning, but it didn't even come close. So
no.
I'm wondering where that information comes from. Is it like a National Weather Service or something?
China, maybe.
Oh, could be, yeah. But my house, 40 degrees. Wasn't even close.
No.
And I moved, when I heard it yesterday or day before, I moved a whole bunch of small stuff back into the greenhouse because they were just really tiny and we'd just gotten potted up.
Sure.
And I thought, man, there's about 100 of these little plants. I don't want them all to die in one night.
No.
You know, so they're still in the greenhouse.
Safekeeping.
Yeah, exactly. But all the, you know, in all these years that I've been in business here, I've never seen an April and a May this cold and wet.
Mm.
Never. Because I pay attention to the weather every day. I rain gauges and thermometers and temperature and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And because that was part of my work when I worked for Oregon State University up in Blue River. I had to do monitor the weather, stream flow, snow depth, all those kinds of things. So I got interested in it because it's kind of interesting to me. It was at that point, but that has hung with me all these years.
Yeah.
Now that I'm in the plant business, I want to make sure that this we can do this or we can't do that, because my business is really weather related in a lot of ways. When it's pouring rain, you don't try to put in a lawn. You maybe plant a tree, but you don't put in a lawn, and you don't want to put in a sprinkler system.
When it's raining.
Yeah. And the temperatures are real important. You usually don't plant plants when it's freezing. You don't glue pipe when it's freezing because it's a big mistake and ain't going to work. And don't even try it. But this April, we had twice as much rainfall in April this year than we had last year in April. So,
That's on the right track.
And right now in May, we have three times as much rain this May as we had at the same date last May. So that's a plus. We're headed in the right direction, even though it's rainy and cloudy every stinking day. It's driving me nuts. But
and some people like to make up headlines.
I know. Gosh.
Ask California and Lake Mead down there.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Lake Mead. Don't talk about Lake Mead and bodies. But... my moving the tender Japanese maples back in the greenhouse was, I got to get these out. So we put them on a cart and got them in there, and it didn't even get near freezing. I don't know. I just like to know where these predictions come from. I told Kyle a few years ago, even sooner than that, I said, why do we only take our weather from the Roseburg Airport? We only take temperatures and rainfall at the Roseburg Airport, whereas you get out into these hilly communities, there's more rain, there's more cold, and in the summertime, if it's 100 at the airport, it's only 89 at my house.
Right.
Within the same half hour. And I suggested, why don't we have weather stations, say five weather stations out into the county, and they, you computerize them, and you get the data by computer, or somebody calls the temps or the precipitation or whatever, calls it in every day. So you get a realistic average of Douglas County rather than just the regional airport.
Have one in Sutherland, Melrose.
Winston and all our communities, so people have a more realistic sense of what's happening and how they're going to manage their drive to work or, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's an expensive proposition, so yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't think somebody, they wouldn't want to volunteer for that. They want to get paid.
No. But I want to also warn at this time about premature garden planting. Usually it's April, mid-April, we can start planting our gardens and all that, and you're chomping at the bit, and there's all these little plants on sale at all these places, and you got to remember, they just came out of a greenhouse where they were growing, where
it was babies.
Idyllic temperature, water, atmosphere, the whole thing. Then you stick them outside where it might be hailing or snowing or windy, and they're getting beat to death in the middle of April, for crying out loud. And, you buy some and try to put them in the ground. It's a miracle in itself, but because it's still too wet and too cold, and they're immature. They don't have a root system that can sustain anything like that. But what happens. So that's it. But premature garden planting, you're going to be doing it twice, maybe three times, because those small starter plants just may not survive any frost,
especially this year.
Exactly. Now, seeds that are already planted, if you plant your garden and use seeds, they're probably going to survive, because they're not going to germinate until the soil actually warms up. they'll sit there kind of semi-dormant, and, you know, it's wet and it's cold and there's no sunshine radiating on them in the afternoon. And not so fast, man.
Yeah, they ain't going to come out till they're ready.
Exactly. There has to be a consistency of warm days, you know, at least three or four in a row to where they'll go, whoa, it's spring. I can come out of here.
So. Maybe the 12th or never this year.
Yeah, you don't know. You know, on one hand, I'm thankful for the rain, but the freezing conditions are not welcome.
No.
I'm sorry. I can handle it in December and January, but after that, I don't want to handle it anymore.
I'm sick of it. Done with it.
I want to see a couple of, sunny days maybe in there. But like I said earlier, we on the rain side, we doubled our April average, and so far we're ahead for May precipitation, and so that's a good sign. Yet, like I said earlier, the experts out there are proclaiming we're still in a magnificent drought, and we'll never get out, and it drives me nuts. But some folks seem to just dwell on the negative side of any issue, and be thankful. Just be thankful for all the rain that we get, because every drop is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10 billion drops might be a little overboard, but every small drop is good. So if you've purchased those small vegetable seedlings, keep them protected for a while until those warmer, more consistent weather patterns establish themselves.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. You know, I've seen maize where it was, 80, 85 degrees.
Yeah.
Consistently through the month, and then you might get a rainstorm, but didn't last long and didn't drop a lot of rain. But and that's your typical May, it seems. And I've seen it rain pretty hard in June from time to time, but it gets over very quickly. It doesn't stay for a week; it stays for 6 hours, like a thunderstorm kind of thing, But and that's good. That's all good, but. And I'm watching the leaves still coming out on the different trees and the shrubs, and they're pushing and they're coming, but they're still small. They're two-thirds of the size that right now that they normally would be at this time of year. Some of them are half the size of what they would normally be, simply because it's a weather thing. They're still alive and they're still coming. Yep. It's just that, why should I unfold anymore? I'm freezing to death, man. I'm going to hold some in here before. Oh, gosh. But as it gets warmer, they'll start to, if we had a week of 75 degrees.
Oh, bing.
Yeah, then you really see them flush out.
Yeah.
And, there's none of the cold weather, I don't think, has killed anything this year. As I go around to different projects and look at what we've been doing and seeing and planting.
Yeah.
Everything looks pretty good.
My Easter lily seems to love it.
Oh, yeah. Some plants do love it. Some plants go, whoa, man, this is perfect 60 degrees.
It has expanded so much, it's out on the sidewalk.
Yeah, give me some more of this. So don't panic if they're not fully leafed out. One of the pluses of a cold, elongated spring is those like the rhododendrons and azaleas have had a longer flowering time because they like this type of weather. They thrive in this type of weather. Now if it was 90 degrees, they would come out, they would bloom, and it would be short-lived.
Bye,
we're done, thank you. It's like my camellias at the nursery, they start blooming in December, some of them. And it's rainy and it's cold and it's windy and everything, but they're starting to open up and they bloom. They were blooming clear till about the end of April this year.
Nice.
Because that's four or five months of blooms on a usually you might get two and a half or maybe three, depending on where they're located in the sun or the shade, that kind of thing. But this year, man, they just bloomed big time. And there were bunches of them. And some of the roadies that I've seen around town they've been blooming for, 3-4 weeks at this point. And again, it's because it's been cool. It's been damp and they thrive in that kind of stuff. So there's some pluses and there's some minuses to this weather, we got a break.
Yeah, we got, that's a plus, I guess.
A plus. Okay.
All right. I'm going to get out of here before I dig a deeper hole, so to speak.
Oh?
News Radio 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, we are back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
Well, good. And if you have a question, 673-4464. Anyway, I'm talking about the weather and how it's affected our plants. And you know, some things are growing a little bit slower than normal. But new growth speeds up as soon as we get some consistent warmth and sunshine. But here's another item. The cold, the consistent cold has slowed down the bees and the other pollinators. You know, I keep watching for bees trying to pollinate my fruit trees at the nursery at home and all that. Ain't seen any.
I seen some the other day.
I saw one day. That's it. And I'm thinking, where's your brothers? You should have a million of you out here.
But my daughter has a, I don't know, it's a purple type flower or bush out there by her front porch, and the bees were all over that.
Wow, that's good to know, because I thought they left.
I stood in, oh, there's some bees.
I don't know if how that's going to affect, you know, the vegetable production this year, or the fruit production, because I drive by Brosai Orchards almost every morning just to see, you know, how they doing, how they growing, I haven't really. I stopped a couple of times and looked, and I didn't see any bee activity. So I don't know how the pollination process is coming. Whether they've already been there and done that, or
well, let's hope that's the case.
Otherwise, there ain't going to be no fruits and very few vegetables.
No,
but those. Yeah, and there are other pollinators, and whether they come or go, it's going to affect fruit production. Vegetable production, and like I said, I don't see many bees on my little mini orchard, but I haven't spoken to any commercial growers. You know, I know Brosai, I know Cruz, and I know those guys, and they haven't been around to where I could stop and say, hey, you know, what's happening? I want to hear from the expert fruit producer. You know, what's he think?
Right.
And I may just, you know, call him up here in another week or so and say, hey, what's going on? Is it gonna work, or are we going to have a small crop?
Yeah, report back to us.
Yeah, I want to get some input on this, on our local fruit.
Investigative reporting.
Now, my grapevines are just starting to leaf out. They just kind of popped out. The buds popped out about a week ago, and they just held tight. And in the last couple of days, the leaves have finally started to unfold. So yeah, that's a good sign. But again, they're about 2 weeks late.
Maybe
3 weeks late, you know, from what I've compared in other years. And again, I don't know, and I hadn't seen any pollinators out there either.
But
maybe they come after I leave, you know, and say, hey, there he is, looking at the leaves, let's hide.
Yeah.
We'll come out after he leaves.
Let's vacate.
Yeah, let's vacate. But I check them out every morning, and I'm trying to predict some sort of harvest, what it might be this summer. And, you know, we're going to have a good crop, average crop, or, you know, below average crop. But, you know, pollinators are the key to garden success.
Yep.
There's no two ways about it. And one thing I do is I plant perennials, and my wife probably plants more perennials in our garden than I do. But we plant them in with the tomatoes, the squash, the peppers, and that kind of thing, because it does attract the pollinators. Well, while the flowers that are showy and have a good aroma to them, that's what attracts them. But while they're in there, they're also pollinating the tomatoes and the peppers and the squash. And not that I, you know, the squash need anything, but, you know, those things, I'll tell you. Last year, I couldn't believe it. I only planted one or two squash plants, I think. That's all. And before I knew it, I had a foot-long squash, maybe 18 inch, maybe, yeah, probably more like 18 inches, and it was like 3 inches in diameter. I thought, man, it was just a little thing the other day, and look how big it is.
Yeah, they go crazy.
Yeah, yeah, and you don't want to plant more than two.
No, no. Yeah,
unless you love squash.
Ugh, you know, I shouldn't do that. Some people probably do.
Oh, yeah. I you know, if you fry it up in butter and onions, it tastes pretty good.
But real just, butter.
Yeah, real butter with real onions, yeah. But, you know, pollinators, again, are the key to garden success, and those perennials will attract more pollinators. It's the color, it's the smell, it's all that. So they go in and say, well, while we're here, let's check out the tomatoes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But any early blooming shrub and flowers you're going to have, even not in the garden, but just around in your yard, is also going to be an attractant to the pollinators. Because they want to start doing their business. They want to start, you know, gosh.
What?
I forgot. Oh, goodness. Man.
Anyway, the pollinators.
And pollinators. I forgot and brought my phone in here.
Oh, speaking of phone, we got a phone call.
All right. Give me a phone call.
Well, they just hung up.
Uh-oh.
Son of a gun.
Maybe they were calling me.
Maybe.
Call again. If you haven't had success, we'll take your call.
Oh, there it is again.
Okay.
Hold on. We'll get you on right now. Bing bong. Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Good afternoon, you guys.
Hi.
Say, I have a question about a peony. A normally very productive peony bush that I have is not going to be so productive this year. The backside of it is kind of a really light lime green and stunted.
Huh. How long has it been in?
Oh, I don't know. 20 years.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, you know, if you've been listening, I was speaking about the, you know, the prolonged wet and cold days we've had, and that has a detrimental effect on the blooming time on a lot of plants. Maybe not all of them, because some bloom in the snow, okay. but peony could be affected by that, and I think given some more time and some warmth, it'll probably produce more like it should. You know, you could keep your eye on it and maybe call me in a month and say, hey, yeah, I came out of it. It's doing well. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay. This is half of it is doing really well. I mean, it's getting tall like it usually does, but it just bursts at the seam every other year except this one, and it's got that ugly backside.
Uh-huh.
So, well, we'll keep an eye on it.
Okay. Do you see any bugs or anything on that, on the ugly one?
Just a few ants here and there.
I don't think the ants would make that happen, but...
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
They're on there every year anyway.
Yeah. They're on mine, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call, man. Call me back in a month and let me know how it happens.
Will do.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All righty. That's how it works. That's simple.
It's very simple. And again, I'm still talking about perennials in your garden, and but it's not only bees that are pollinators. Actually, hummingbirds are pollinators because they go from flower to flower to you know.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
And I've got hummingbirds to stay at my place year round, and my wife puts out feeders year round, and. Just the other day, I think I counted 17 of them flying around two feeders, and it was raining. And I'm thinking, what are they doing here? They're supposed to be in Mexico or somewhere, you know, warming up.
Yeah, snowbirds.
But
so
they when the perennial flowers are blooming in your yard or your garden, they're into them too, and they're cross pollinating.
Their thing.
Yeah, they're doing their thing. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that, but. And butterflies are good pollinators as well.
Oh, okay.
Because you see them flitting around and they land on a flower. Well, that's their pollination thing. And then they go to the next flower or the next shrub or something like that. So those are like three biggies right there. And then there's minor insects. And I haven't gotten a list of the minor insects. But you'll see, you know, little flying things going from plant to plant, and I don't know what most of them are.
Yeah, you
know,
yeah, not cockroaches.
No, God forbid, not cockroaches. But you know, you figure up to 90% of all plants and trees depend on pollinators to do their thing for survival and productivity. That's it.
Wow,
90% of our plants need that. And, you know, and our food supply, of course, depends on pollinators. And that's so this prolonged cold stuff and rain stuff, you know, that you got to keep an eye on it and just say, well, how can I help it along, or there's nothing I can do? I have no idea. So,
well, you got hummingbirds.
Yeah, I got plenty of hummingbirds, but I don't got no flowers, man. I got a few. No, I don't. No? I don't have any flowers yet, because I'm in a different microclimate than you are here in Roseburg. Yeah. I'm a couple of weeks behind. If it was real spring here, it would be just starting spring at my place. You see?
Yep.
And just because of the sunlight and the coolness, and
it's a lot cooler out your place in the summer too.
Yeah. So what could you plant? Here's the question. So what could you plant to attract a lot of pollinators? Well, you can try some small sunflowers, the dwarf type sunflowers. They look like the big ones, but they're only, you know, 2 footers. And you know, asters, lavender, honeysuckle, coneflowers, those are all good attractant attract pollinators to them.
Yeah,
because they bloom early, they're very fragrant and very bright colored, and so that turns those dudes on. And any flower that's sweet and fragrant will do the job. If it's very colorful, you know, hot orange and yellow or something
purple,
like that.
Apparently.
Purple, yeah. They're colorblind. They don't care. They just know it's color. So, you know, what you want to do is do your homework and find some flowers for the pollinators, and you'll thank them in the long run, and just plant them amongst your vegetable plants or close to your vegetable garden, or line, you know, put a ring all the way around your garden with pollinating type perennials, and you'll see a real difference.
Nice. All right.
We got a break?
We do.
Okay, we'll be back.
All righty. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, it's 4:38 and we're back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. As he said, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. What's the phone number, Mike?
673-4464 if you have a question regarding anything I say or don't say. And, you know, if you have a problem in your garden, if I can help you, I surely will. I don't know everything about gardening, but I know most. So
there you go.
Know. We can give it a shot, and if I don't know it, I'll tell you I don't know it. So,
how long have you been in the business, by the way?
48 years.
48 years.
Yes.
That's quite a spell.
Yeah, it's a spell. Well, that's professionally.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, but I was raised on ranches, and we always had gardens. We always had, you know, that kind of thing. So at a very early age, I was involved in the dirt.
You were dabbling.
I was dabbling in dirt, yes. from 5 years, 4 years old, something like that on up. So
it's kind of like me with radio. I mean,
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it came natural.
Yeah. Well, back on track.
And when we lived in Butte Falls way back in the 50s, that's the 1950s, there was a club at school called 4-H Forestry. It was 4-H Club, but it specialized in forestry. And so I went to it, and the forest rangers up there in Butte Falls Ranger Station took the, it was a small group of us, took us around and told us what the trees were and what shrubs were and stuff like that. And I loved it. I thought, this is so cool. I know how, what to call these trees now.
There you go. You got that little twinkle going.
Yeah, right.
Got a call.
All right. We've got a call.
Hey there. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Thank you. Okay. I bought a plumcot tree last year. And it's really, the reason I bought it was because it was so beautifully round. It was just beautiful. That's the only reason I bought it. Anyway, so, but now I have curly leaf on it.
Already?
Yep. Oh, it bloomed out.
It bloomed well, though.
Oh, yeah. And I have, you know, the flowers, everything. It's really quite lovely, other than the rain is kind of dragging it down. But,
yeah.
You know, making it goofy looking.
Yeah.
But, no, it's doing really well. But I got, yeah, but I got curly leaf.
Well, in,
so,
when it's wet and damp like this, there's not much you can do. If we had a dry day, you know, say, you know, for 10 hours it didn't rain and the sun kind of shined a little bit through the clouds, you could spray it and help that curly leaf. And there's several different kinds of sprays that you could use.
And they would might be.
Well, my best recommendation is go to the Farmers Co-op, and they'll have about 16, well, maybe not 16, 10 different types of spray, and some of them would be specifically for curly leaf. We don't stock it at our nursery because there's so many varieties, and when I needed to spray a client's tree or something like that, I just go to the co-op and buy it because I know I can get get what I need. And they're very knowledgeable over there too. If you get stuck and ask,
I know they are.
Yeah,
yeah,
they'll help you out.
Yeah, I know they are. They're very good over there. Not so much the other one down here by me, but I won't mention names.
Okay.
But you know, I thought, well, maybe if I pulled off those curly leaves, if I pull those curly leaves off. You know, it's the whole tree's not curly leaf, just a few.
Well, you can pull the leaves off. That's a simple solution right there. And then keep your eye on it and see if anything else happens. But it's the wet, damp weather that's causing it, see?
Okay, that's good to know, because I thought, oh, good Lord, now what have I done,
Right.
So then the other thing, do they have to be pollinated? Do they need another tree, another plum cot next to it, or a plum or something or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they okay?
They're okay. Any other fruit tree in the vicinity will you cross-pollinate with.
Okay, I'm not sure there are any up here beside mine, but
Have you seen any bees out lately?
No, I heard you talking about that,
yeah.
And no, I have not. I've got some flies coming around.
Okay,
but no bees.
Maybe they'll help pollinate too. It's a different kind of year or a different kind of spring this year, so.
Gee, I hadn't noticed. I'm glad you told me that.
I know. I hardly noticed myself.
And the wind, I know. And then the wind comes up this hill, and it just rips through here like crazy. And then I know that it's bringing another storm in.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah, I go, oh, here comes another one. And I did do some foolish and did go out and buy a couple $100 worth of plants, and so far they didn't die. So
good.
You know, but Mother's Day, Mother's always been told Mother's Day is the day you can plant.
I haven't planted mine yet, so I mean my vegetables at least. But shrubs are you can plant them in any time. I mean they do well, most of them.
Yeah. But I mean, I bought some petunias and a few little things like that.
And the petunias and the wind and the rain.
I know. But so far, everything's looking good.
Good.
And, yeah, so I appreciate letting me know because I got all worried about my little plum cot tree.
I had one little plum cot
last year, my first year planting it.
Did you eat it?
We'll see what I get this year. You betcha. Yeah, I didn't share either.
Good.
Share with nobody. That's mine.
Good.
And I got quite a few blooms, so we'll just see what happens. But it's a beautiful tree. Oh, my gosh, it's pretty.
Good.
You know, it looks more like a shrub than a tree, actually. Uh-huh. And but anyway, so, well, thank you for your information. And keep your powder dry, or however they say it. So.
Yeah, well, you said it right.
Right.
Thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go.
Yeah, like I said earlier, with the rain and the coolness and stuff, the leaves on some of the trees and shrubs are not fully leafed out, and that might be part of her problem, too. It just we need a little bit more warmth. We need a little less rain. We need a little more sun for the leaf to mature.
Fully develop. Or what?
Exactly. Yep. Fully develop. And That's the way nature works. So we're going to move on to something that probably nobody has in this county, but I read about them and I thought, well, maybe I should get some of these. But anybody out there ever eat pomegranates? You ever have a pomegranate?
I don't think so.
You know what they are?
They're little green things.
No, they're little red things.
Oh, red things.
Yeah, they got little seeds. You eat the seeds inside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, many years ago as a teenager, I gave it a shot, but I was a little bit disappointed. I didn't know what they were. You know, and the guy says, here, have a pomegranate. Okay. But they're kind of too labor intensive for me. I mean, the skin is hard and you got to peel off the skin and there's all these little red seeds on the inside. And they're very juicy and very sweet, but you really got to work at it to get a mouthful of them, for crying out loud.
Wow.
Like I say, they taste good, but too much work involved. So
they're probably healthy for you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they are. They probably... got every vitamin known to man in there. But it seems to me that the trees, from my research, are very powerful with medicinal qualities. And it didn't name all the diseases that it cures or anything like that. But they are easy to grow. But I've not seen too many pomegranate orchards here in Douglas County. So maybe there's some folks that have them. I don't know. And if they did have them, I'd love them to call the show and say, yeah, I got one and it's doing great. And this is how I planted it. And this is how many pomegranates I get off every year. And all
that. What's that number they should call?
673-4464. But like I say, I haven't seen very many orchards of pomegranates in Douglas County. Lots of peaches and pears and apples, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And they bear their fruit very early, they're immune to a lot of diseases and pests because of it has, a very tough rind. You know, it's not like something like an apple. You know, it's hard and all that, but you bite right into it and no problem. But you can't do that to a pomegranate. You probably break your teeth.
Yeah.
You got to cut it with a knife, you know.
Your dentist may love it.
Yeah. But that tough rind, it prevents a lot of diseases or pets getting into the fruit itself.
Sure.
So that's a good sign.
Yeah.
And they're tall, kind of a they're a deciduous shrub, and they can get fairly tall. Or you can keep pruned down to, you know, whatever size you'd like. And they can withstand hot sun. They love hot sun.
Wow.
You know, so if you got a place on the south side of your house or the west side of your house where nothing is doing well because it seems too hot or something, and there's reflected heat off the house or a wall, pomegranates will do well. I just don't know where to buy any. I've never seen them advertised in my plant catalogs. Because now I'm fired up. I want some.
You got to have it.
I got to have some of these. And there are some varieties, like I say, they love the hot sun, they do well in there. But some of the varieties can withstand low temps down to -6 degrees and survive.
Jeez.
You know, I don't think we've been in minus six for a long time.
Thank goodness.
Yes. But they grow best in, like, good garden soil, of course. And they'll also produce fruit in bad soil. That's how tough they are. I mean, they really thrive in the, you know, nice, good, composty type stuff, but you can stick them in the mud and they also
they like that too.
Yeah, they don't maybe produce as many pomegranates, but they still do produce some. And they also do well in, like I said, in drought, but they also do well in wet conditions. So it doesn't seem to matter. Bad soil, good soil, dry, wet.
Whatever the climate.
They're going to grow in spite of you, not because of you.
That's right.
And you can grow them in pots and bring them, like, if we get a variety that doesn't do too well in the cold, you can put them in a pot and bring them inside and have a houseplant for the winter. And then as soon as spring rolls around, if spring rolls around, you stick them out. And at any rate, you want to buy, when you're reading the tag, buy the most cold-tolerant ones you can find. And you know that they're going to make it in Douglas County in the winter. And like I say, they're a pretty shrub. And when they bloom, they're outrageous. Oh. I mean, the flowers are just knock you out. And, boy, they got oranges and pinks and, you know, just real, real fantastic bright colors and just thousands of flowers on, you know, say a five-foot pomegranate plant. Mm-hmm. It just becomes, you couldn't see the stems because of the flowers.
Sounds like they attract the bees.
Oh yeah, big time if it's not snowing. But like I say, if you find the cold hardy ones, you know, plant them up against the wall so they have reflected heat too. And because, like I say, the heat, they love the heat. They grow in California like weeds, you know. Mexico like weeds.
Yeah.
Wherever. But, you know, if it's sunny throughout the year, they're going to do well for you. And in those warm climates, they're going to flower and they'll set fruit multiple times a year. It's not just a one-time fling. You know, they flower, then they set the fruit. Oh. But in those warmer climates, you know, Southern California, Mexico, Arizona, those places, they will bloom, set fruit, bloom again, set more fruit. I don't know how many times a year it'll do it, but it just keeps on going,
keeps on producing.
Yes, very productive. We got a call?
We have a call. Break.
Oh, a break. Oh, you had your finger on the trigger there.
Be right back.
Yes.
In a couple of minutes, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. Final segment here at 4:55. Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, and the lines are open for you to call in.
673-4464. I appreciate your calls. I really do. But anyway, I was talking about pomegranates, and you can't, for some reason, you can't grow them by seeds, according to the literature that I was doing research on, and I thought, why can't you grow them from a seed?
How do you grow them?
Yeah, how do you grow them? You grow them from cuttings.
Oh.
You cut branches, you stick them in the ground, they grow roots almost immediately. Yeah, I had no clue. I mean, they're very easy to root from cuttings.
Hmm.
And as a shrub, of course, if you just want them as a shrub, they're going to do well, like I said. And when they're blooming, they're absolutely outrageous in color. Like I said, kind of a pinkish orange flower.
It's a strange animal.
Yeah, and I'm talking hot orange. I mean orange. You go, whoa, man, what is that? That's a pomegranate, man. and then when the fruit comes on, the fruit is like round and red, deep red. And looks like Christmas ornaments almost hanging all over it, and it's that tough skin, so nothing gets into it. No
deer
bugs
or whatever.
Deer don't even want it, you know. I'd say it's deer proof as can be. Oh gosh, but if I can find some, I will grow it. I'm actively going to be looking for them and see if I can actually, if I have to even go into California and buy them. I don't know.
Heaven forbid.
Yeah. Now, and this
just,
next.
Just don't go to Lake Mead.
Lake Mead? No, that's in Nevada.
Oh, is it?
That's right. Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, I don't know my geography.
Well, I do. I've been there a couple times. Oh, gosh.
Well, it's close to California.
Oh, yeah, it's real close. I'm going to start on this other segment I've got, but I'll probably redo it next week. Because if you, if you're really an organic farmer at home in the backyard, you don't want to do the chemical things and all that, that's great. I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. But you might try raising worms. Now, what we do, worms will eat table scraps, and they'll eat all kinds of things, and then they turn the table scraps into the best organic soil available. It's just like, it's perfect. You can't buy anything better. What's the matter? The machine drop?
Oh, it's sending me weird messages.
Weird messages. They must be from space.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the astronauts.
Russia.
But the worms will eat your, and they even eat eggshells, believe it or not. But if you have leftover lettuce or even, you know, any kind of leftover food, if you start a little compost pile in the back corner of your yard or build a little box or something like that and put that in there, and if you get some, you see some earthworms crawling around, get in your yard, pick them up and throw them on that pile. And within a year, you'll have the best compost you've ever seen. You can't buy it that good, and it's fresh and it's there. And we've been doing that at the nursery for, 25 years, and we have huge compost piles from all the leaves that we clean up from our maintenance contracts in the fall and winter, like at all the banks and businesses, all the big trees, all these leaves drop down. And there are some days that's all we do is leaf removal. And then we load up our trailer, take it out to the nursery. We don't take it to the dump. We don't do that. We take it to the nursery, and I put it in the back of the field. And I've got these big piles bigger than this room. And what happens is, once a year, I take a cat out there or my tractor and turn them over, and it's the darkest, nicest soil you ever saw. And so when you turn it, you bring the good stuff up, and the stuff that's not rotted will begin to do their thing. But I'll talk more about that next week.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. We used to hunt night crawlers, with a flashlight.
Yeah.
Use them for fishing. All righty. So where are you located there, Mike?
We're a half mile south of Winston on Highway 99, and we'll love to see you, and we'll love to help you. Thank you.
Thank you.